presentation of Coast to Coast AM is an encore presentation from 1996. It's Art Bell's very first interview with Father Malachi Martin. And now, the very best of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
My guest is Dr. Malachi Martin, and he'll be back in a moment. He's in New York City, and wherever you are, you're going to want to sit down by your radio and pay very close attention.
Now, some of you love to listen to Coast while you're in bed, and if you're married, you probably have somebody there that wants to get sleep sometimes, and it could be difficult. Well, Sea Crane Company has come up with a concept just for you, just to take care of this problem. It's called the Soft Pillow Speaker. And it's only $19.95. That's it. And to look twice at the price. That's it. $19.95. And that includes shipping. Now, with a pillow speaker, you can listen to the radio in bed without disturbing others. Enjoy crystal clear sound. Only you can hear it. Custom designed high-end speaker, and it comes in one of these teddy bear type soft covers, so incredibly thin and soft that you can lay your head on it. It's not like this big clunky thing under your pillow. Nope, not at all. Plugs into any earphone jack of any radio. It's got a 1-year warranty, and it could save your marriage. Everyone can sleep soundly when you listen to the radio with a Soft Pillow speaker from the Sea Crane Company. You've got to have one. Just nice to have. Sometimes, too, you're tired, and I forgive you if you have to go to sleep during the program. But if you're going to do that, why don't you try it with a Soft Pillow speaker from the Sea Crane Company and just simply go to sleep. And subliminally, then, you get to hear the whole program anyway. You remember the whole thing when you wake up. You will. Call 1-800-522-8863. The number again for the Soft Pillow speaker. Or a free Sea Crane catalog, 1-800-522-8863. Or you can go to the web at ccradio.com.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky. Results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the legions of listeners who've had incredible results because it really works. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Antioxidant Formula to reduce inflammation and further support the health of your prostate. Plus, his groundbreaking book, The Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift, guaranteed to work, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep the book and the newsletter free as your gift. Not available in store, so call now 1-800-603-7277. That's 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. The After Dark newsletter has been reporting subjects that we talk about right here on the show. And just like the show, After Dark has been evolving and changing and keeping folks guessing. You never know what you're going to get next, but it's always a lot of fun. Give yourself a treat and subscribe. Just log on to my website, artbell.com. Go to the library link on the left. You'll find the After Dark link in the menu there. Click and you can subscribe on the secure server. Or call any time of the day or night, toll free, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. For only $39.95, you'll receive this four-color magazine every month for a year. Subscribe right now and you'll get 2 free issues, 14 for the price of 12. Subscribe online at artbell.com or call right now, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505.
right. There are stations that are just joining us now. You have missed two very important hours, and it's going to be impossible to catch you up, but we'll try. Malachi Martin, my guest, is an ex-Jesuit, former exorcist for many, many years, and one-time advisor to three popes. He is now a best-selling author as a premier investigator of the clandestine politics and unlikely alliances of popes and cardinals. Dr. Martin offers rare insights in his books into the men who guide nearly a billion people in faith and broker the destinies of countries and continents. As a member of the Vatican Intelligence Network under Pope John the 23rd, Martin helped extend the church into Iron Curtain countries. In 1964, concerned about the corrupting influences of power, Martin was released from his vows of poverty and obedience after 25 years as a Jesuit. He left Rome for New York, where he did odd jobs until a Guggenheim Fellowship enabled him to write his first bestseller, Hostage to the Devil, followed by the final conclave, Vatican, Three Popes and the Cardinal, The Keys of This Blood, The Jesuits, and others. He has been reviewed by many, 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 many. Forbes said, no spiritual journey is complete without a Vatican page-turner by Malachi Martin. Sacramento Bee said, it is to Martin's credit that his real-life fictional cardinals have flesh, bone, and blood, sometimes the heart of a South Chicago ward healer. The Dallas Morning News said, in biblical times, they would have called him a prophet. He just described in great detail what exorcisms are like. Doctor, are you
yes.
there? How you've held up through great exorcisms. How are you holding up this morning?
Very well indeed. I mean, this has been an exhilarating experience, Art.
All right. I have a lady who would like to speak to you. She sent me a fax, Doctor, yes. and I called her. She sent me the following.
Yes.
Art, please help me. If I'm not possessed, then I'm being harassed, tormented, used, abused, sodomized, all of it. I believe my mother promised me to her evil spirit. My family is an old American family. Mm-hmm. I converted to Judaism 30 years ago, and she sounded so much like somebody you described that I thought I would bring her on the air for a moment. Her name is Eva. Eva, are you there?
Yes.
You're on.
My name is Eva.
Eva, all right, Eva. I'm sorry. You're on the air with Dr. Martin.
How do you do, Dr. Martin?
Good morning, Eva. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Good. If you are in that condition, if you think you fulfill all those conditions in your life, you should apply to the local bishop, the bishop of the diocese in which you live. I don't know what that diocese is. I don't need to know. Well, there may be a difficulty there because a lot of the clergy in San Francisco have given up any belief in the existence of evil, above all in the existence of evil spirits, and I wouldn't at all be surprised if the Archbishop of San Francisco is among those.
Yes.
I do not know, Eva. I don't know. Don't work. I love San Francisco. I've been there several times in my life. I'd love to live there.
Don't bother. I don't choose to be here.
I know. Well, that's what happens with most of us. Our place of living is imposed on us. But in any case, you have to apply to the local bishop for an exorcist.
Now, you say that a person who is truly possessed
yes.
is aware of it and has made a deal.
Well, put it like this, yes. With conditions and restrictions, that's true of anybody who's possessed, partially possessed.
Is it a straightforward deal?
What's that?
Is it a straightforward deal?
No, it's never straightforward.
Never straightforward.
No, it's never straightforward. You're always at the heel of the hunt in the matter. But you think it's straightforward, but it isn't.
Oh, no. What I mean is what I'm trying to figure out.
Yes.
In a way, speaking with you is a dream come true.
Uh-huh.
And it's also a bit...
Thank you very much for saying that.
A bit of a nightmare.
I know, Eva. Well, apart from anything else, I promise you that when I say Mass this morning, which I shall after this broadcast, I'll give you a first intention in that Mass.
There was a time when I would have just laughed at that, but
I know.
I have tremendous respect for it now.
You've acquired wisdom.
My concern is for my grown married children.
Oh, boy.
And
oh,
my
boy.
Grandchildren. I'm afraid to people that I become attached to or involved with, and that does include my family.
Yes.
Bad things happen, and I'm really afraid to be around people. I'm thinking of a few deaths in particular, and stuff happens.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, and my heart goes out to you. It really does.
What can she do, Doctor?
She must find a good priest.
Doctor, I would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
One other time, I was listening to a talk radio program, and a woman was on who all you had to do was call up and say your name and your age or something, she would sense these stuff about you. And I called.
Yes.
And I gave my name and my age and so on. And she said, there's a very strong presence of a man who's been with you for about 10 years, and you really need to do something about that.
And was it accurate? It was accurate.
Yes. And I didn't follow it up. It's really taken me close to a year to be comfortable with actually saying that.
I know. Eva, I would be chary if I were you. Of any freelancer in this whole matter.
No,
it's terribly serious. You see, there's no doubt about it. A demon can have information about one without any reference to God at all, without any reference to our safety.
I've already learned that.
Yeah, they can know things. You need to be under the protection of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the authority of Christ to get rid of any harassing or obsessing angel in your life, because you don't sound as if you're possessed, but you do sound harassed.
Yes, sir.
And obsessed.
Yes, sir.
And that's the commonest form of demonic activity today.
Now, explain this to me. At one time was even fairly unfriendly about the Catholic Church, but there's been so much movement now that you'd have to decide to... There are so many factions.
Yes, of course.
Which is good, to my point of view.
Yes.
You say, give myself up to the authority of Christ.
Yes. Through an exorcist.
That doesn't mean to accept Christ as a savior. It just means to acknowledge the authority that Christ would have in this matter.
That's right. But I must be frank with you. Once you admit Christ as having authority in this matter, and once you benefit by that authority, you'll find that he lives in your heart.
Well, he was a Jew.
Eva, we are out of time and we must go, but I think the upshot here is seek the advice of the church of an exorcist.
What I'm saying is that I don't eschew Yeshu. I just don't want to leave it on that note. I accept about Christ the man and what a wonderful man he was. So
well, yes, you want to put it like that. But let's leave it at that, Eva. But I'll be praying for you.
Right.
That's a promise.
All right. Doctor, I just got the following, and maybe you can tell me the kind of person that this came from. Dear Art, your present conversation with the priest is not without dangerous complications and consequences. I don't have to tell you just how many minds are listening to you on the radio, minds that can be in turmoil, minds unknowledgeable of the subject and the danger. I beg you to end this conversation without delay. This is somebody who is afraid of what they're hearing.
Yes, I can imagine that it would, to certain minds, represent a danger. But it can suggest things to people, and I'm sorry if it does. There's no suggestiveness in what you're saying or what I'm saying, but the outlining of a reality in our lives, the presence of evil, is surely something that we must admit and acknowledge, and not be blind. So I appreciate their fears, but I think they're ill-founded.
Doctor, during the course of an exorcism,
mm-hmm.
what things or messages do you typically hear from a demon? In that process, in that war, in that confrontation, what do you hear?
You hear, if you lay yourself open to it, you hear reproaches about your life, your past life and your present life, if there's anything to be reproached. He'll throw it at you like mud. Then you also hear, if you allow it to continue, an exorcist must control everything, you hear a lot about what it could be like if we weren't bothered about details like religion. You hear a lot of deceptive suggestions and of peacefulness and let everybody think and do what they want to do, the message. Then in the extreme cases, you get total blasphemy.
They go after you. They try to challenge your faith.
Of course. And it's very subtle. And you mustn't be shook by that. You mustn't be shaken by that. You must be able to deal with it and never answer a question, never take up something shoved at you. Always be in control.
Always
give commands.
A priest is also a man with faults, with guilt, with the things, perhaps fewer than the rest of us, but things that can be thrown into his face to make him weak.
That's right, they can. They can shame him, and they can weaken him. And for that reason, he needs to be virtuous. He needs not to have sin on his soul. He needs to have cleansed his soul in confession. He needs to be clean. If he's not clean, a demon will know it.
Is it possible, as in that movie, The Exorcist, that the demon can move from the possessed to the exorcist?
Yes. That's the danger. You can't have any truck with this unless you're in control.
Otherwise, do you remember doing exorcisms in which you weakened?
Yes, I do, when I was momentarily shaken, yes, by the shocking things said to me about God, about the angels, about heaven, about human beings, about human love above all, and the contempt and the despisement and the ridicule that human love is accorded by the demon when he really talks. It's something frightening. And you realize then that all human love is useless unless it mirrors the love of God.
So human love by itself is insufficient.
It's insufficient. It can be ridiculed and mocked and imitated and reproduced falsely. When it is an echo of divine love, then it's divine.
Speaking of false things, Doctor, is it possible or probable that a person taking drugs
mm-hmm.
is more susceptible to the possibility of possession?
Yes. In fact, there's a twist to that I'd like to give to it. You can, through exorcism, be rid of a drug habit. Because in many cases, not all, I'm sure, but in many cases, the lapse into a drug habit, the adoption of a drug habit, is the result of satanic influence, demonic activity.
What
you can get rid of it.
What if you were to give out sort of a general piece of advice to people who are wondering about possession, what signs do you look for?
If in your life there is some imperative coming out of left field, not of your choice, but commanding you, urging you to do something, to yield, to be controlled, and know that that can herald demonic activity. For instance, let me explain something to you. We heard a lot for a long time. We still hear a lot about transcendental meditation. And the essence of it was that you made your mind blank.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you channeled. The difficulty art is this. If you do that,
you are a sitting duck.
You open the door and say, come in. And the same thing with the Ouija board. And the same thing with mini-channeling activities.
It is not necessarily the board itself. That's just cardboard. But when you use it in that manner, you're issuing an invitation.
That's right. And you're saying, the door is open. Please come in, whoever you are. You can't do that with impunity. You can't do that with impunity. And many a case we're dealing with today started with a simple thing as the Ouija board used as a plaything. But it got serious.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are spiritual seances of the same kind. Channeling. Waiting for the spirits to talk. Oh, they talk.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, we talked about earlier the quickening. You talked about an increase in possession or exorcisms mm-hmm. of 800%. 800%.
That's right.
In what span of time have we seen this increase?
Since about 1969 to 1989, in that time. It's a funny thing. A lot of things have happened in that time in the world and in the Church of Rome, my church, about which I've just written that book, Windswept House. And it's all, a lot of it is negative. There's a lot of negativity. And there's been a lot of bloodshed in that time, by the way. And there's been a lot of environmental damage. And surely Lucifer, who wants the death of the human race, will use any means, especially radiation, to destroy human hopes and human life.
When we come back after the bottom of this hour, I would like to ask you whether we are approaching the final days. I want to ask you about the rapture.
Okay.
Thank you. So stay right there, Doctor. Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest. And we will take calls as we're able to here, so bear with us, but we'll get more and more toward the telephone. A fascinating night, without question. Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest from Manhattan, where it's getting pretty late in the morning. I'm Art Bell, and you're listening to the CBC Radio Network.
This hour on Coast to Coast AM, an encore presentation from 1996. It's Art Bell and his first interview with Father Malachi Martin. And now, the very best of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest. The After Dark newsletter has been reporting subjects that we talk about right here on the show. And just like the show, After Dark has been evolving and changing and keeping folks guessing. You never know what you're going to get next, but it's always a lot of fun. Give yourself a treat and subscribe. Just log on to my website, artbell.com. Go to the library link on the left. You'll find the After Dark link in the menu there. Click and you can subscribe on the secure server. Or call any time of the day or night, toll free, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505 for only $39.95. You'll receive this four-color magazine every month for a year. Subscribe right now and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. Subscribe online at artbell.com or call right now, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Now to Dr. Malachi Martin in Manhattan. Doctor, in your second set of tapes concerning the storm and inside the Vatican,
yes.
You had pointed out that we are going to be chastised. This is from a gentleman in
Beaumont, Texas, we're going to be chastised. You said it can't be mitigated. There will be catastrophes, calamities, natural disasters. Great sections of humanity will be leveled. This is part of the third secret of Fatima in 1917, July 13th. But you implied this would be more in the distant future than in the deserted vineyard. You said very clearly this will occur, you believe, in the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Yes. The time seems to be foreshortened as regards to what they call the chastisements, these punishments that are going to come upon us, and they indeed are starting in a remote fashion. But I expect them. One can always be wrong. In spite of my reputation, I'm not a prophet art. But I expect them between now and 2000. But not definitive, not the end of the world, not the coming of Antichrist, not the final judgment, not the rapture.
A great change.
Like
a great change, however.
A very great change. And, you know, the old song, keep your eyes on the skies. I would keep my eyes on the skies from the beginning of this winter until the end of spring 97. Because depending on what happens in that time, we will more or less have a prognosis for what's going to happen between now and 2000.
How many human beings do you think will make it through this change?
A good majority of the present human beings that are alive, but in great misery.
In a world where perhaps you don't want to live, that sort of thing.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
There are many
people who want to speak with you, Doctor. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Martin. Good morning. Where are you, please?
Yes, this is a doctor, and I'm a former seminarian. I would rather not give my name.
That's quite all right.
A wonderful program, Art, and Father Malachi. I think one of my spiritual directors was a friend of yours.
Namely?
Father Menard.
Oh, yes.
Ernest J. Menard?
Yes.
And I was a seminarian with the Premont Detentions in L.A. for a while. But I wanted to talk, first of all, would you tell Art something about the 3 days of darkness when I'm done?
Yes, I will, briefly.
And I wanted to just mention, I wanted to talk about how I was a youth minister after getting out of the seminary. Mm-hmm. And we were asked by the bishop to go to Ogden. We were told why the bishop wanted us to be in Ogden, and we did a retreat for 110 Hispanics, and dozens fell on the ground frothing, and I realized that I was not prepared for that, and so I fasted for about 3 days while we were doing that retreat, and no ills happened. But later on in Oregon, I met somebody who was heavily involved in New Age and occult.
Yeah.
And I got an inner word that says, get out of the room fast. And I was trapped between, it was a real small room and crowded and couldn't get out without making a scene. So I waited a couple minutes. And that night, I had my first out-of-body experience. I was basically grabbed by a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had occasional out-of-body experiences since then. And basically, they are stopped by the name of Jesus.
That's right. It's the only means at that stage. Get free of it all as soon as possible.
Yeah, those people who are involved in out-of-body experiences,
stay away
from Jesus.
Dangerous? Doctor, thank you for the call.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Any truck with that, and you're into what they call, you're onto the middle plateau. And that's a very dangerous situation.
Doctor, 3 days of darkness?
Yes, there's no doubt about it. There are going to be 3 days when there's a great darkness over our earth, and during which it will be dangerous to be abroad, to be outside your home. And even in your home, it may be dangerous.
3 days without sun?
3 days without the natural light we're used to, Art, yes. Without that. But it's like everything else, when it takes place, they will endeavor to give it an astronomical and a geophysical explanation.
You know, so much of what you're saying this morning, my audience knows. You might not, because you're in Manhattan, where I presume that you've not been able to hear me.
Yes, I've heard everything you said tonight.
Well, tonight, yes. But, Doctor, in just the past week, I don't know why, I asked the audience,
yes,
if one day you arose and the sun did not come up,
uh-huh,
what would you conclude?
Uh-huh.
I just asked them that general question, and...
what was the answer?
The answer was, many answers were flippant,
yes,
but many answers were they would conclude that the end has begun or that a change is definitely upon us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It was just, it's eerie to me that I even asked that question.
I know.
All right.
I know.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Where are you calling from, please?
From Fort Myers, Florida. How you doing, doctor?
How you doing there? What's on your mind?
Okay. It's something that's been worrying me. How a lot of leaders, religious leaders like the Pope and Mother Teresa and even, you know, political, like,
yeah,
Boris Yeltsin is, you know, very ill.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is that like a big sign that it's coming now or soon?
Yes, it is. That these main leaders or apostles or leaders in the world are ailing. It means, for me, it's an indication of the end of an era, the beginning of a new era.
Well, he's right about that. Mother Teresa, of course, is ailing. The Pope.
Yeah, the Pope is ailing very much, very much. In fact, within 12 months, we may have a new Pope, for all we know. And Boris Yeltsin is ailing, but he's not the only one. There's something happening. And, you know, in human history, if you look at it really cohesively, you'll find that no era ends with a plonk like that, and the next one starts. They always dovetail. And our past era is now dovetailing with a new era, which is a bit frightening, quite frankly.
Many things are beginning to happen. Volcanoes erupting, the ozone thinning.
That's right.
Animals beginning to mutate. It seems like all of this is increasing in its occurrence.
That's right.
Rapidly.
It is. And, you know, Jesus said about his own generation, he said, this generation, he said, can tell me in the evening what tomorrow is going to be like. It reads the signs of the weather, but it cannot read the signs of the times. And we are like that. We don't read the signs of the times very well.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me on your show, Art.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I am in the Bay Area,
all right,
California.
Yes, sir.
I have two questions for, is it Father Martin?
Yes.
I am, Art, I'm an attorney, and
yes,
I've also been a Christian for right around 17 years.
Yes.
I've been studying demonology almost as long.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I have two questions for the Father,
yes,
and a couple comments, if I could.
Go.
Yes.
First is, what is the, well, let me preface this and say, you have mentioned a couple of times that it's, when you do exorcisms, there's a conflict of the wills and driving the spirit out.
Primarily the wills.
Yes. So what is the basis of your authority to cast out a demon?
Christ.
Okay, yeah, you've been a little bit weak in referencing that, and I would go beyond.
No, I didn't mean to be weak at all.
The blood of Jesus is what...
I didn't mean to be weak at all. It's Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's good. The second question is, I am, denominationally speaking, more of the Protestant tradition, and
yes,
I would ask you, can a non-Catholic, without the Pope's authorization, do exorcism?
I've never come across one yet.
Okay.
But it may be, but I've never come across it yet. They come to us, even though they remain Protestants, they remain Methodists, and Lutherans, and Mormons, and whatever, or Jews, or Muslims, or Buddhists, but they come to us for exorcism.
Okay. Well, I'd like to proffer that you're speaking to somebody who's done a number of exorcisms. Just
good.
Through my life, I'm not a Catholic, and I don't have the Pope's authorization, but if it's
have
okay,
they
quote you scriptures, Art, for you, the benefit of your audience to support that.
Have they succeeded?
Is that okay if I do that, Art?
The question was, have they succeeded?
Oh, yes. Yes, I ministered to a young lady last June. She had multiple nightmares every night. I mean, not just bad dreams, real nightmares. And we went through about 2 to 3 weeks of deliverance sessions and drove out 20-some demons, many of them manifesting and speaking and Listen. Telling us where they're from. And
Doctor, is there a danger to what he is doing?
Listen, in my book there is, but if he's protected, he's protected. And you may have some protection, sir, of which I do not know. It must ultimately come from Christ Jesus, in my book.
That's what I affirm.
But if you have that protection, fine and dandy. God bless you. I'll pray for you.
Thank you, Father.
I hope you go right ahead.
You sound
because
like you have
a great deal
more...
You can't expel these demons except in his name.
That's affirming to hear you say that. I would like to just read two scriptures, Art, that are... one of them is one of my favorite verses in this area, another one that just...
I would prefer you don't do that.
Okay.
I thank you for the call, sir. But it is possible then, Doctor, that somebody, a layperson, could successfully do an exorcism?
That's right. He must, therefore, have been granted the authority of Christ Jesus. He must have been. And that's not impossible. It's not necessarily... absolutely metaphysically necessary come through a church man, through an ecclesiastic. Normally in my life it always has, but if somebody else can do it directly with a gift from the Lord, more power to him.
Doctor, there was a recent movie, I don't know if you're a movie goer, it was called I think in its final version Prophecy. Its working title during production was God's Army.
Uh-huh.
It was with Christopher Walken. Are you aware at all of that movie?
I know. I heard about, read about it. I didn't see it. I don't go to movies very much.
It basically imagined a second great war between heaven and hell.
Ah.
Is such a thing possible, some second great war between heaven and hell? Or
yes.
Is it simply yes?
Yes, there is going to be one final clash. One final clash. And we're on our way to it, but we're not there yet. We're on our way to it.
How close to it do you think we are?
Of course, Art, you and I know, as sensible men, it's very hazardous to guess at timings.
Yes.
The one thing that's difficult are dates and times and hours and places. But, given what is happening to the nations, given the existence now of the new world order as a fact of life and not a theory and not a plan for the future, and given the rising sea of very disturbing things happening, men and women, negative things, we are approaching a point when something has to give. And it would seem to be on a global level and would seem to finally involve spirit, morals, ethics, finally the final battle. So what time? Well, I think that we're going to enter in these remaining years of this century, we're entering a period of severe chastisements, severe hardships throughout the cosmos, throughout our Earth. And I think that into the new century, the 21st century, we're heading for a lot of confrontations and ending up in a short time with that final battle.
Doctor, with changes, earth changes, with things that will occur, it seems so unfair because when these changes begin, clearly those in third world nations, underdeveloped nations, will suffer and die at a disproportionate rate.
I do not know that, Art, for sure. I think that where things will be really bad will be in our overcrowded Western cities, our big cities, say Mexico City with 30 million,
yes.
Or Atlanta, or Los Angeles, or New York, or Chicago, the big urban settlements. I think there's where the real suffering will take place. Now, I think that the people living in Patagonia, the people living in Tasmania, the natives, as we call them, we're natives too, but we always refer to the others as the natives, you
know.
With our post-colonial mind, we still say that art, you know. The, and I remember always making my British friends uncomfortable by referring to them as native British, but there was no thing as a native British. Only the natives were only in Africa, for the British, at that time anyway. But the suffering may be more intense in what we call civilization. Maybe much more intense, because we are more dependent. I mean, Art, look, think what would happen to New York if the water supply is cut off and the electricity and the gas.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's obvious. Very clear. What has been your toughest, your hardest exorcism as you look back?
It was in the Bronx, New York, in 1983. And it was a young priest.
A young priest?
Yeah. Who was possessed. And it was long drawn out. It was bloody. And disgusting. And took a heavy toll on everybody involved.
Can you tell us the manner of the possession? How would a priest be possessed? Was he himself doing an exorcism?
No. He yielded piece by piece by piece. Because it's never sudden. It's never sudden. It's just a little bit here and a little bit there. And he yielded to temptation. It wasn't sexual temptation either. It was pride and arrogance. And then this mystery of choice comes in, the selectivity. As I say, I said before earlier in the broadcast, Art, there's no profile. We try to create a profile. There's none. Some men who are very naughty are not possessed. Some men who are possessed are not very naughty in their lives. They're not crooks. They're not evil in that sense, but they are possessed. So, but why he yielded, God only knows. It's free will, of course. But it was a very distressing thing and involved a lot of people, involved its whole family, involved its whole parish, involved the local bishop.
Wow.
And it was very distressing. And he emerged from it, but he succumbed after a short time. He died.
He died.
He was cured. He was saved. But he died. And he came out of it utterly white. And he was a young man with a big shock of red hair. And a young man, he was a young priest. But the rot had started very early on in his family. He had never told anybody anything about it. And it was the most distressing thing I've been through. It really was the most distressing one.
How did you come out of it?
I came out of it with a little bit of me dead. Quite frankly, something I can't get back until eternity when God rewards me, I hope. But something in me died.
It takes a little piece of your of what, Doctor? Your faith of...
No, it takes a little bit of... You know what? Look, we're both adults. You know what vitality is?
Yes.
And what, you know, verve, and as the French call it, sens d'attaque.
Yes.
The power of tackling something.
Of course.
When that's diminished and diminished and diminished, then... That's why I speak about little bits of you departing, little bits of you die. It's a sacrifice you make. You can give, the analogy I use was children to whom you give love. You can't get it back.
Of your life essence or energy.
Yeah. You can't give it to somebody else. You know, you give something which is of your very soul, and we willingly do it as parents or as parish priests or as counselors. But I know sufficient number of psychiatrists and psychologists, and I know they expend themselves for the sake of their patients, and they can't get back what they give. They get money, sure, yes, but that's no substitute at all.
So then when it happens to a priest or somebody of great faith or service to God, it is harder, it is deeper.
And, you know, that's if you were to get close to the present Pope, that's what strikes you about him at certain moments. The complete draining of his spirit. I remember I had to convey a message to him once. He came home from a 10-day tour of the Far East.
Doctor, we're at the top of the hour. Are you constitutionally capable of another hour?
Yes.
You are?
Of course I am, yes.
All right. Wonderful. Stay right there, and we'll be right back to you. Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest. We're talking about exorcism and possession and more, and we will be back.